I am a Christian, and I have been a Christian since I was 13. I grew up in Hearst, Texas, which is about 20 miles northwest of Dallas. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents took me to a church at an early age, and when I was growing up, I was very interested in athletics, playing football and baseball and girls. And so when I was in high school, or probably when I was in junior high, I was in my home, my living room, and I'd been to a youth camp, and my parents had talked to me about Christ, and there in the living room of my home, in the presence of my parents and my pastor, I personally invited Jesus Christ to come to my heart, accepting Him as my Savior and Lord. And that was the beginning of my Christian life when I was 13 years old. And from 13 until 20, my sophomore year at TCU, I did not grow. I remained a babe in Christ for about 7 years. Much to my unhappiness now that I didn't grow in those years, but I'm glad that someone began to help me to grow. And basically that's what we're here in this seminar today, is to give you some tools, hopefully some tools and some information and some inspiration that would encourage you to begin to grow in your Christian life, and to show you how to grow, particularly in the area of personal Bible study. That is the title of this seminar or this workshop, How to Do Personal Bible Study. Continue on a little bit with my testimony. As I said, that I remained a babe for about 7 years. Well, when I graduated from high school, I had started TCU with three goals in mind. Number one was that I wanted to play college baseball, excel in athletics. Number two was that I wanted to get a college degree in business and get out and make lots of money. Number three was that I had heard that TCU had the best-looking girls in the Southwest Conference, and I wanted to date some of those good-looking sugar boogers. So those were my three goals when I started to college. About the end of my sophomore year in college, I'd injured my arm. I was not able to play baseball any longer. And I was just about flunking out in school because I was not studying. And number three, the girl I was going with at the time, we broke up in our relationship. So I was a very, very unhappy young man. In fact, I was depressed with my lifestyle and where I was going in my life. And a young man who was in the BSU there at TCU noticed that I was a very unhappy young man, and noticed that I was not growing in my Christian life. He sensed this about me. And so he began to come up there in the dorm, Clark Hall, and develop a relationship with me and get to know me. And then one of the first things he began to do was just to share his life with me, and just to be a friend to me, just to be available to me. And as he began to share Christ with me, he began to encourage me to how to have fellowship with God, as Leroy talked about. He began to show me how to have a quiet time, a daily devotional time with Christ. And then he began to show me how to do personal Bible study, something that even though I had grown up in the church, Southern Baptist Church, First Baptist Church of Hearst, grown up in the church all my life, I had never really studied the Word of God to the point where I really applied it to my life, other than becoming a Christian, and where it really was very practical and really made real sense to me. I'd never really done this. And so that summer, I made a recommitment of my life to Christ and just told the Lord that whatever He wanted to do with my life and wherever He wanted to send me, I was willing and available to go. And I made that commitment, and I really meant it with all my heart. And so as I began to pray that God would use me, I realized that I needed some training and some growth. And so I was active there in the BSU. I mean, I got involved and working with a man that's leading another seminar, Jerry Kraft. And Jerry and his had a training program, and they helped me to grow in the Christian life. And one of the things they helped me to do was to learn how to do personal Bible study more intensively. So this was back, I'm 30 now, so this was 10 years ago when I really began to grow in the Lord. And one of the first things I began to do was personal Bible study. And they're asking me to lead this seminar this week. You know, some of the guys asked me this week, well, have you prepared to lead this conference? And that was one of the students asked me that, and I said, yes, I've been preparing for 10 years. Because if these things that we're going to share with you today, if they're not something that I've been doing, and I'm presently doing, and I have been doing, then I really don't feel like I have something to share with you. So this is something that I have been doing for the last 10 years in my life. There have been ups and downs. There have been times that I was more committed to it, more dedicated about it than at other times. But it's something that I have been doing for the last 10 years. So things I'm sharing with you today are not things that I've read or I heard somebody else share in a conference, but it's something that's in my life. It's something that I've been doing for the last 10 years. And this is something that I want to share with you today in a way of some very practical things that will help you to grow. Let me, first of all, Leroy, in his presentation this morning, he touched on a verse that my carnal nature kind of jumped out when he mentioned it. I said, because I was kind of saying, I couldn't believe he shared that verse, you know. Because Leroy, I said, you're taking my ammunition. This was what I was going to share this morning. But last Friday, I was having my quiet time, and I've been reading in Proverbs this month. And I was reading the second chapter of Proverbs. You may want to turn to this, unless he mentioned it. But I want to look at it a little bit more in depth. But let me ask you, before I read this passage, I want to ask you a question. Why did you select this particular conference? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? John? Isn't your name John? John, would you do me a favor? Would you kind of write some of these things up here on the board for us? I'd like for some of you just to share briefly one word reason why you came, or maybe a two or three word reason as to why you came to this particular workshop, why you signed up for this particular workshop, what you're expecting. Come and be sure.
I'd like to take a few words, more words.
Okay.
First of all, you just asked two questions, I believe. Why we came and what we're expecting.
Now, from this
right.
Particular workshop.
Okay. Why I came is because, I accepted Christ about 4 years ago. And I don't have that personal Bible study, and I feel I should. I'm hoping to get some guidance.
Okay. Guidance. And how to. Okay. Martha? Okay, to develop your time of personal Bible study with God.
I've been having problems in my own life, and the other Bible studies I'm not involved in don't have anything to do with what I'm doing. So I start one of my own there.
Okay. To begin one on you?
To bear up on those.
Okay.
Areas.
I think a systematic and ordered Bible study is important.
Okay. Systematic and ordered approach. Anybody else? Okay. One of the things that, I don't know whether it's been mentioned yet or not, a lot of the materials I'm going to use this morning are in this particular notebook. Can I give you a head start on this? This is a spiritual growth notebook that Tom Gallen has put together. And in the section, it's labeled, has the different categories of discipleship in the area of personal Bible study. There are some outlines on how to do personal Bible study, or how to search the Scriptures. The other one is on topical studies, and then there is a form here on the STS form, which I'll be referring to, alluding to in a minute. And you can pick up, you don't have to buy the notebook to get those inserts. You can buy the inserts separately, but I will be using the insert material. And let me just put a plug in for time on this. These are $4, and I think they're really tremendous, not only for the division, but the material that is in it is excellent. And they've only printed up 200 of them, and there are about 650 of us here. So if you're interested in getting one, I would suggest you do it pretty quickly.
They're already filled out.
They have?
There weren't any more in the bookstore.
Well, you can get the materials, all the inserts. They've got plenty of insert materials. May want to write Tom or ask him to print up some more. I think I would imagine if there's request enough for them, he might get some more of those. Okay, I was reading back to Proverbs 2. Let me read that again for you, and you can follow along with me. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I wrote down in my quiet time notes on dated April 25th, which was about a week ago, as to why we should do personal Bible study. And I didn't, I didn't decide I was going to look for this particular verse just so I'd have something to share with you. It's interesting how the Lord, you know, just brings things to you when He's got something in mind to be shared. But I found out of those nine verses, 10 reasons why we ought to do personal Bible study. First one, I'm just going to list them. They're in these 9 verses, but I'm just going to list them, and you can come back and find which reference later. First one I have is for knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. And secondly is for understand the fear of the Lord. Understand how to trust in the Lord. Third is the knowledge of God. Fourth is wisdom. These are all in these verses. You can come back and... Well, I'm just saying what's out of the Scriptures. You can come back and search that on your own. Wisdom keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints, understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path. Those are all listed in those nine verses. In this spiritual notebook I just alluded to, in the first section there on agendas and goals, there is a Bible study or a letter, or whatever you want to call it, on a life objective or a purpose for our life. And this was written by Max Barnett, who's a BSU director at Oklahoma University. And it has a one-sentence objective as far as a reason for your life. And I memorized that objective for my life because I believe in what he's saying there, and I believe it's based on the Word of God. I want to share that with you. As far as a purpose for my life objective is to know, to love, and glorify God, and to be used of Him to raise up qualified laborers in significant numbers as fast as possible to help fulfill the Great Commission. Now that's a life objective. And the first three emphases in that life objective is to know, to love, and glorify God. To know, to love, and to glorify God. And the number one reason in these passages, I believe, the reason why you're here is to know God. What is it? The objective of this Bible study is to, number one, is to know God. I believe that ought to be our purpose, is to really know God. And that's what Leroy was talking about this morning as far as a reason for fellowship with God. Is we really need to know God if we're going to be used of God and if we're going to glorify God. You can't really love someone unless you know them. And I found that true in a marriage relationship that, and really, as I began to spend time with my wife, and before she was my wife, I really began to get to know her. And it's the same way with God, that you've really got to spend time with Him to really get to know Him. Okay, now, let me just share another verse with you. You may want to write this one down. It's Proverbs, I'll share two verses with you. Proverbs 24, and it says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." Proverbs 24. Okay, that's talking about the man who, because of his life and for different reasons, he's not really, because of the circumstances, he's not really plugged in. He's not really growing. And because he's not growing, the circumstances, when it comes time to have something to share or to really fellowship with the Lord, he doesn't really have anything to give. And I was sitting in a conference in San Antonio about it was actually a BSU director, and he was working with one of his students, and he was sharing a couple of verses with his students. And as he was sharing, he was talking about this man who desires to grow in the Lord, but just desiring to grow in the Lord is not enough. But you've got to be diligent. You've got to do what it takes and take those steps necessary to really to grow and really become the God, the kind of man or woman that God wants to use. And Leroy mentioned the verse Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Diligently. Well, let me just kind of say to you right off the bat here that personal Bible study is work. And that if you're really going to get something out of it, you've got to decide, you know, that you're going to pay the price to spend the time to really get something out of personal Bible study. And you're going to have to work at it. But more than just working at it, you've got a plan. You've got to plan your schedule. And that's something that I've really found, that I made this past year, a fellow shared with me about some practical things about planning. And one of the things that he shared with me, which is also in this notebook, is a very simple tool. And people had talked to me about doing this kind of thing before. And what it is an agenda or a schedule. And it just simply got the 7 days of the week with each hour of the day divided up into, this one's 30-minute sections. The one I've got is 15-minute sections. But to divide your day and decide what your priorities are going to be. And there's a Bible study here on priorities and the use of time. Well, this past year, I got along with the Lord, and I decided what my priorities were going to be in my life. I decided, number one, that my priority was going to be my walk with God. All right, now, if my number one priority is my walk with God, then what am I going to do about the specifics or the practical application of my walk with God? Well, I decided in the area of specifics, number one, that I needed to have a daily quiet time. This is Leroy shared today. And I needed to memorize God's Word. and I needed personal Bible study. Those were the three things I decided in my list of priorities. And the other priorities are my wife and my ministry, my school, and social. Those were the areas of my life that I divided up. And it says in Luke 2:52 that, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And that says Jesus grew in four areas. He grew, number one, he grew in favor with God. He grew physically, he grew socially, and grew mentally. So those are four priorities of life. And as I divided up my time, I decided, okay, I better have a plan. You've got to have a plan, and you've got to work your plan, and you've got to have a workable plan. All right, so my plan as far as my personal Bible study is one that I have, let me say this, you need to be flexible with your plan. That there are going to be times you're going to have conflicts, you're going to have things that are going to come in that are going to mess up your plans. But just be flexible. Be ready to, you know, to make new plans, because that's going to happen. So just be flexible. That's, I guess, a key word that, that I've really learned, is just having a plan, but along with that plan, being flexible. Okay, so my plan as far as personal Bible study, I set aside how many hours I was going to spend in personal Bible study, and then I put on that chart when I was going to do it. I was being very, very specific. Now, the reason why I'm going over this with you is because if you don't have a plan and you don't decide to do it and when you're going to do it, you're never going to do it. Because things are going to happen in your life, I guarantee you, that are going to crowd it out. So you've got to decide, and then you've got to have a plan, and then you've got to work your plan. All right, I decided that the best time for me on 2 days of the week was in the morning, because that's when I'm the freshest, and my schedule was such that I could work it out to where I could spend personal Bible study in the morning. So I have here, looks like about 8 to 9 on two more mornings in the week, and then I have some other time during the week that I will not tell you how many the total hours is, because I'm not suggesting X number of hours that you have to spend a week in personal Bible study. That you just begin where God, where you are right now. You decide, you know, something for you. What my time as far as personal Bible study is for me, and I think you need to begin where you are as far as how much time you're going to spend in personal Bible study. Okay, I decided, and I plugged that in my schedule as to when I was going to do my personal Bible study. All right? Then I had to meet that time. And I guarantee you, everything in the world can keep you from having that time. But you've not only got to schedule it, you've got to make a commitment to it, an engagement, just like you would if you were going to meet anybody else, if you had an appointment. Well, you've got an appointment on that time for personal Bible study. Well, people have called me in, and they say, well, would you do thus and thus? And I'll say, I'm sorry, I'd love to. Maybe I'd do it another time, but I have a commitment. I have an engagement at that time. Well, my engagement may be personal Bible study. And if my priority and my number one priority is my walk with God, then and I'm going to keep that, then I'm being honest when I say I have a commitment or I have engagement for that time, which I do. So I don't feel like I'm being dishonest, because I have made a commitment beforehand that that's when I'm going to do personal Bible study. So when somebody asks you to do it, will ask me to do something then, if at all possible, I'm not going to do it, because I've made a commitment to myself and to the Lord that that's when I'm going to do it. So you've got to decide, make a commitment to yourself and decide on a plan, and you've got to keep it, because I guarantee you, Satan will do everything he can to keep you from having that time of personal Bible study. Okay, so that's just something in a way of practicality that I found that I had to do. Now, let me get into the specifics of how to. Everybody see that? That's on there good and strong. Okay. When I first started doing personal Bible study on any type of systematic way, I was introduced to this little form that's in this notebook in which you can purchase these individually called Search the Scriptures. It's nothing fancy, just a very basic two-page form. And it has about four key areas in how to do personal Bible study. The first, you can use this in a variety of ways. You can use for a chapter study. That's where you take one chapter in the Bible and study it. Or you can take a verse and study a verse intensively. Or you can take a topic, such as priorities and the use of time is a topical Bible study. And I'll come back to these in a minute. But you can use this particular form on all of those. As I said, if you want to get this material, all this material is in this notebook, and it's also can be purchased individually. So if you want to save your time copying it, you can just purchase it out there. All right, first, in reviewing the book, this is talking about where you take a particular book, such as Ephesians, okay? In reviewing that book, you want to learn the things like who wrote the book and who Paul was writing the book to, a group of Christians at Ephesus, and trying to learn as much information as you can about those group of people there. Now, where do you find this kind of information? You can use the Scofield Bible has a paragraph or two at the top of each chapter that has this information. You can get it from commentaries. Various commentaries have this information. Bible dictionaries, Bible handbooks have this information. And you can find, of course, if you really want to get it firsthand, just go through the book and get a lot of it from the book itself and just reading through it. So the kind of things that you want to know, as I said, is who wrote the book, when and where it was written, to whom it was it written, why was it written, the purpose. What was the author trying to accomplish when he wrote this particular book? What information did the Gospels give with reference to the author of the book? This Young's or Strong's that's referring here, that is a. Those are two concordances. Does everybody know what a concordance is? Anybody not know what a concordance is? Okay, you don't have to have a concordance book as such, because most Bibles have a concordance in the back of the Bible, of course, and. They're of course limited, but Young's and Strong's is an extensive concordance. I have the Young's concordance, and I don't remember the exact number of references, but they have most of the references to every scripture in the Bible, and have it structured so you can find under topical headings. Also, the topical Bible does the same thing. So that's, in reviewing the book, would be the first thing I do before I actually get into the study, just really kind of to get the general perspective of what that particular book is saying before you get into the specifics. You're going to be moving from the general to the specific. Okay? Then survey the book. Say, for instance, Ephesians. I just haven't mentioned it. Or 1 Thessalonians. I've got some material here on 1 Thessalonians. Read through the book several times, at all possible. You know, I don't think you could possibly do that with Revelation as easy as you could with, say, some of the letters. But I sometimes just kind of beginning reading through it casually. You know, not really meditating on it, but just kind of getting a very, very general reading maybe the first time. And usually I begin with a King James translation, reading it from the King James first. And then I'll take another contemporary translation, maybe a Living Bible or a Phillips translation or American Standard, or using different translations to kind of getting another perspective of what it's saying. So this will kind of give you the overview of it. And then maybe as I read through my general reading, I'll take my pen, and if some particular words or themes seem to be running through it, I'll maybe underline those. Like in Philippians, the word that comes to my mind is joy. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. So that's a heavy theme that runs through Philippians. Maybe underlining these key words as I read through it. Or a phrase, or particular people. Last week I was doing a personal Bible study. I can't even remember now where it is. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians. And I was doing a study on follow-up. And Paul was writing to a group of Christians, and he mentioned all these Christians, and I think there were about 20 names of different Christian individuals that he called them by name. And I underlined every one of those names just to kind of see how many there were and how many he was referring to. These were specific people that he was interested in and that he was praying for. And he mentioned their names specifically in this particular letter. So I underlined those. And then as I would take the study, then I'll maybe make a title for the book. Just come up with something on my own that helps me identify it. Like on Philippians, I can't remember the exact one, but something around the theme of joy was what I used for Philippians. I can't remember the exact title I use now on that particular one. Then getting down to the specific, taking a chapter, all right, then a reading through the chapter, and then relating the chapter to the previous chapters. Anytime that you take one chapter and you're studying it, you always want to know what's gone on before and what goes on afterwards. It's called the principle of context in doing personal Bible study. And it's very, very important because when the Bible was written, it was not written by chapters as we have it now, or verses as we have it divided up. And so many times we're kind of hold the chapters and the verses as holy, and you know that came right from the Lord. And so we say, okay, well, what does this chapter say? And we lose the perspective of the rest of the chapter. So that's why it's very important to really see what's going on before and what's happening afterwards, to really get the true meaning of what it's saying there. Okay, then begin to observe. There are four key principles in doing Bible study. I'm going to come back to these in just a minute and go over them more in depth. But the four principles are observation, correlation, interpretation, and application. Observation, interpretation, correlation, and application. And I'll come back to those in just a minute. But the first one there is observe, using a principle of observation. Observe. Who are the individuals involved? What happened? What ideas are expressed? What resulted? Where does this take place? What's the setting? When did it take place? Why? What is the purpose? How are things accomplished? How well, how quickly, and by what method. So, okay. Then what does it say? In the observation part, I would say in doing a chapter study, I take a particular chapter of the Bible, and I would either paraphrase it in my own words, or I would outline what, say, a particular chapter is saying. And this way you're really concentrating and meditating upon the words, and you really are just kind of absorbing that chapter in depth and in detail so that you can know what the author is trying to communicate, what God is trying to say. So that's what I would put on this first section here on the summary of the outline. Okay, and then the problems and cross-references and application. On the problems section, there may be a word that you really don't know, you don't really understand. You remember the word buckler in Proverbs 2 I read a while ago? I didn't know what a buckler was last week when I read that in my quiet time. So I looked up my Bible dictionary. No, I don't think I found that in the dictionary. I can't remember now where I found it, but I looked it up somewhere. I found that buckler is a shield. How many of you knew what buckler was? So that was an instance where I was using the problem. Okay, and the first part there says, don't understand, jot down the specific word or ideas, what you don't know and why. If you don't understand something, and you say, well, I don't understand it, you just leave it there. That's not really a digging to find the problem. What you need to do, once you've got a problem on a particular chapter, is then really begin to dig and to search and try to find the answer. Did you notice what it said in that Proverbs 2 passage? That the man who's going to do God's will and to understand God and to know God, he's going to search the Word of God like a buried treasure, like silver. And so it's going to involve some work and some diligent search. So once you've got a problem there, don't just say, well, I've got a problem, but really try and do some search and some study on your own. And if you still can't find it, write it out, and then seek out either help from some other books or from spiritual people who can help you to find the answer. Okay, cross-references. This section right down here at the bottom, cross-references. Most Bibles have cross-references on the margins to where you can take the cross-reference and find other passages in the Bible that relate to that and will add further light to it and illumine that thought and give tremendous insight into what the author is saying there and further edification of that particular thought. Something that I found in personal Bible study is this, that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. You know, when I first started doing Bible study, well, you know, I thought I had to go to the commentary to really find out what it meant. But later I found out that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So that's why it's so important to do cross-referencing. You can take a passage and really get the further thoughts from maybe the old and the new, and maybe from the author in another perspective or another situation that will really add real illumination to that particular verse, to that particular idea that you're studying. Okay, in this particular form, as you see, you cannot say write the whole verse on it. There's just not enough room. So what you do, say in a cross-reference, is that you would take the key thought, maybe, of that verse and put in this section rather than write out the whole verse. And that in itself is a discipline because it causes you to have to think and to digest the idea, and it's a further means of helping you to learn and study the Word. And so that's cross-referencing. Now, the last part, application, is probably, as I've been doing Bible study, and helping people to do Bible study, I've found that most people, application, they think is the easiest, and they take it most for granted. And application is the fruit of your study, and it's the real purpose of Bible study. Something that I've learned, I read a quote about 2 weeks ago by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist in the early 1900s. He was what you would compare in his era. He was the leading evangelist of his day. He was the Billy Graham of his day. And D.L. Moody said this quote, that the purpose of Bible study is not to increase your knowledge, but to change your life. The purpose of Bible study is not to increase your knowledge, but to change your life. And that's so, so true, is that there's so many people that will do Bible study, and they'll become maybe intellectually correct in the Scriptures, but it's not made any difference as far as the way they live and the way they behave. And this is the heart of Bible study, is an area of application. Okay, now let me get in the area of application. Application is simply putting God's Word into practice. It's recognizing what God is saying to you and responding accordingly. John, would you look up that Psalms 119:59-60? I don't have that memorized. It does not come about by osmosis, but application is by intent. For your own benefits, write out your application in three parts. First of all, what Scripture teaches me to be, think, or do, what my life is like now in this regard, and what the Lord wants me to do about it. Following are seven directive questions that may help you in applying the Word to your life. Is there an example for me to follow? What in this chapter, this passage, or their topic should I be trying to do in my life? What should I be trying to follow? Is there a sin for me to avoid? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there a promise for me to claim? What does this particular passage teach me about God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit? Is there a difficulty for me to explore? Is there something in this passage that I should pray about today? As I said, that this is probably the most difficult area of personal Bible study in the application, but it's the richest part to me. I want to read you seven reasons that are listed in this book, and you may want to get this book. It's further amplifying a lot of what I'm saying. It's Search the Scriptures, and it's in the bookstore. I think it's Donner Quarter. And this is, I've got about four other books here, personal Bible study, on how to do personal Bible study. I think this is probably the best one of the lot. I use this more than any of the others, and I highly recommend this on how to do Bible study. The author here lists seven reasons why applications are difficult. And these are in this book, but I just want to read them to you. Number one is the human heart resists change. I know about my life, and that's so true, that if there's anything that's difficult for me, is to change my behavior and to change my habits. Number two, there's a lack of understanding of the meaning and the importance of application. Number three, there's a pressure from society to conform to relative standards, not absolutes. Four, it's easy to substitute interpretation for application. And that's something that I have seen more than any other, that one area, is that people will... Let me tell you how I've seen this. When I was in Fort Worth, I was involved in a training program where one of my responsibilities was to assign people weekly to do these STS forms, or topical studies, or character studies. And when I would assign them the studies, then I had the responsibility of grading them. You say that may sound kind of legalistic or difficult, but the people in this training program committed themselves to training, and part of the training was that they were to do weekly personal Bible studies. So I had the opportunity to evaluate these Bible studies, and that didn't make me judge or anything over them. All I was simply was doing to see that they were doing it correctly and help them in problem areas. And week after week, maybe not the same people, but different ones, would, in the area of application, they would come up and put an interpretation of what that passage is saying rather than application of it. And it's so, so important that... you make a distinction between interpretation and application. What are you going to do about what that passage is saying? Now, what is God saying to you that you're supposed to change in your life? And these are some key questions that you ought to ask yourself in application. Well, I tell you what, the time has really gotten away. I just feel like I really got started. I had my guns loaded. I had about 30 more minutes of things to share. But apparently that's all the Lord wants me to share today. So I'm just going to stay with our time element. And we have 15 minutes now for you to ask questions. Yes, sir?
In the Bible
study, you find it best to say a chapter at a city? You mean for 1 week or for one time? Say like 1 hour you're going to spend and do personal Bible study?
Well, just say if you were to sit down and you'd already done your preparation for the book and everything. You could sit down and take a chapter. Now, would it break the chain of thought or the other chapter?
Okay. I didn't explain this. I didn't explain that. I misled you. Say on a chapter study, I usually take one chapter study for a whole week. In other words, maybe I begin on Monday and end on the following Monday. So I would really do a Bible study really kind of by segments. I wouldn't do this whole study in one sitting. I divide it up into small segments and do maybe one time I'll do cross references, maybe the other I'll do. I always usually wait the application for last after I've kind of really done the research and the study of it. Does that answer your question? Let me share with you what I have been doing this past year. I say this past year from September to presently with our BSU. Our BSU we have 12 students on our executive council. And these students have different responsibilities in the area of leadership in our BSU. And besides their particular responsibilities, I've been discipling them as individuals. These are the 12 students that I've been giving my life to and pouring my life in Christ to them and trying to be a pace setter and an example to them. And one of the things I required of my 12 students in our leadership council is to do personal Bible study. And I've not asked them to do something that I'm not doing myself. I have been doing the same studies they've been doing all year long. And what I've been using in our council are these six books, which are available in the bookstore, Designed for Discipleship. And there are about four or five chapters in each one of the books, and we'll take a chapter a week. And they're question and answer type of studies. That's another form. You know, I mentioned the verse study, the chapter study, a topical study, and a character study. Well, this is a question and answer form type of study. Okay? So what we will do as the students on our council was I will assign them a chapter that they are to do 1 week, and we've just done them consecutively. We just stayed with them until we've done the whole six. We just finished the sixth book and the last chapter in the sixth book this week. And that's what we've been doing this year. We're just going through this series with people on our council. And then when they would do the study themselves on their personal Bible study time, then they would come to our leadership meeting and we spend our devotional time in sharing the fruits of the study with one another, our profits from the study, our application of what God has said to us that week. In other words, we wouldn't necessarily go through the whole Bible study in our time together. We would share the fruits of what God has said to me personally through doing this study. And then they would take this study, and some of them were leading a Bible study with a group Bible study using the same material. So that way they've got three shots at it. First of all, in their own personal study. Secondly, in group sharing with their leadership group. And thirdly, then taking it out into the field, into the dorms, sharing their fruits of their study. So that way they're really getting some solid reinforcement of this, and God is really building in their lives the basics of these studies. So I highly recommend this. This has been very, very fruitful, and that's just one form of a study, as I mentioned. Yes, ma'am. Okay, I didn't get to it, but there is, in this same notebook, and it's also out there, there is the same kind of guideline for a topical study. I was going to do that, but just time has not allowed. Yeah, and just take a notebook like this, and these STS forms will fit in this notebook, and then you can say if you're doing a book study, you can say maybe if you're doing Ephesians, we'll put out in front of here Ephesians, or maybe it's letters of Paul. You know, you can put those out here, and then you can just keep them kind of categorized, and pretty soon you'll have your own Bible. You'll have all 66, well, pretty soon it'll take maybe more than pretty soon to do it, but... if you're diligent about it, you could build it. But I'd say something like this, of just keeping the fruits of your study in a notebook like this. And I encourage you to do that. That's something that I think that many times, you know, you come to studies and conferences like this and you take that material and you don't use it and you don't keep it filed and organized where you can refer to it again. It's really going to be useless for you unless you do something like that. Lee? Are you asking me if I think that's possible? She's referring to a series by a man called Irving Jensen, and I think this is out there called Enjoy Your Bible. And what he has done, he's taken, I think, nearly every book in the Bible, and he's taken this same type of study, but a little bit more in depth and more organized type of study. It's really an excellent series, and on doing personal Bible study, he's really giving you some guidelines. And I think Lee, that I think that's good, but I think it can be a substitute for personal digging. You know, I started this morning to bring you a whole lot of different tools and different things you can use in personal Bible study. You know, like a concordance and a topical Bible and all of these things. And then I got to thinking, you know, that'd be kind of just for y'all. You know, say, my goodness, you've got to have all that to do Bible study? All you need to do personal Bible study is a Bible and a pen and a piece of paper. You don't even have to have these forms. And I say, number one, is you've got to have a desire to do it. And number two, you've got to be diligent about it, because it just won't happen just to have a desire. Well, like I said, this is what I used this year, and so I stuck with this for the whole year. I think it all depends on what you're trying to accomplish, what your objective is, what you're aiming at. In other words, if there's a particular need in your life, I say like priorities and use of time, usually I gear my Bible study to what I feel like I need.
So like if you pick the word, mm-hmm.
That's right. So I personally don't know, somebody may have better guideline about that than I do, but two ways I determine what I'm going to do in personal Bible study. One is my need, and the other is my objective. My objective this year in personal Bible study is to disciple these 12 students that I'm spending my life with. So that's why I took them through this series, and that's why I was doing this particular study, is to get them going in the basics. Now, some of this material, you know, it was not new material to me, but I wasn't going after knowledge. I was going after behavior. And so I had to ask myself a question again in these areas of these studies, you know, how am I acting, or how am I living according to what it's saying? Am I doing, is my life the reality? Is my life the truth of these studies? Because you can increase your knowledge and not affect your behavior. And I think that's... I heard a man say this, and I think about it some more. He said, Bible knowledge without application is spiritual abortion. Any other questions? Well, good. I got 5 minutes. I want to show you this. I didn't do this artwork on this, but this fellow did this. Belongs to him, and I thought it was so good that I want to share it with you. These four key principles: a Bible study, observation. What do I see? Here's this guy. He's doing Bible study. Studying about, he's doing a topical study on wheels. Observation. Interpretation. He's doing some digging and going to the library and doing some research on wheels. What does it mean? What does it mean? Correlation. And lastly, and most importantly, how does it work? I thought that was kind of cute. Okay, we've got about 2 minutes, and I just want to leave this this one verse on your heart as we leave, and then a prayer. In Psalms 1, 2, and 3, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." If we want to be successful, we want to be used of God, we want to know God, we need to meditate on God's Word day and night, hide by the river, so bring forth God's fruit, and God will use us.